Hi guys, welcome and thanks for joining today's Food for Thought. Today I would like to welcome back Dr. Isha Chainani after our first sort of virtual meal service around PCO. She's back today to talk about snacking your way through PMS and the cravings that you sort of face while PMSing. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Jashan. I'm an architect and founder of Sugar and Space. We're a food-focused design and innovation agency, creating meaningful connections for a sustainable food future. Food for Thought is a series of conversation around food, our bodies, and our minds. And today, we're going to be tackling PMS. So, Isha, welcome back, and let us introduce you to everyone.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dr. Isha Chainani. I'm an obstetrics and gynecology resident surgeon. So that means I work with everything to do with women's health, from infertility, pregnancy, pelvic cancers, fibroids, menopause, and of course, PMS. What I'm really passionate about is making medicine accessible to women. And by accessible, I mean easy to understand. So for example, I really want you guys in the session to understand the relationship your food has with the disease and how you can take steps yourself to manage it. I also founded a nonprofit called Prema to help reduce mortalities in pregnancy by providing low-income pregnant women access to life-saving, medically correct information to influence outcomes of both the mother and the child. So it's got an Android app called Prema Pregnancy as well. So today, let's figure out PMS. Right. Okay. So what is PMS? As many as 3 out of 4 women have experienced PMS or pre-menstrual symptoms or syndrome in their lives. It's a group of symptoms consisting of physical and emotional aspects. So when you talk about the physical aspects, you talk about joint or muscle pain, headache, fatigue, weight gain related to fluid retention, abdominal bloating, breast tenderness, acne flare-ups, constipation or diarrhea, and abdominal pain, which is severe menstrual cramps called dysmenorrhea. Now, and there are emotional symptoms like tension, anxiety, depressed moods, crying spells, mood swings, irritability, anger, appetite changes, trouble falling asleep, social withdrawal, poor concentration, and change in libido. So these are usually seen about anywhere from a week before your menses come in to 1 or 2 days during your menses as well. For some people, this pain and emotional stress are severe enough to affect their daily lives. These usually disappear within 4 days after the start of your period for most women, but a small number of women have disabling symptoms during their period. This is called premenstrual dysphoric disorder, and it is actually a disorder that requires a lot of medical intervention that comes in. Okay, so how would you know if you have PMS? Now, again, there are no unique physical findings or lab tests to like positively diagnose it. You know, it could be part of your normal cycle, but anything that disrupts your normal well-being is something that could be into PMS. So to help establish like a pattern, you usually like you can write down your symptoms and signs in a calendar or in a diary for at least 2 or 3 menstrual cycles. And usually anything that is really disrupting your normal cycle, that is disrupting your functioning and your normal work, all of that could be PMS. So certain conditions can mimic PMS. So chronic fatigue syndrome, thyroid disorders, mood disorders like depression and anxiety also can, you know, actually be the problem, but, you know, they're being masked by PMS. Okay. Okay, so now why do we have PMS? because that's another question. It's another controversial question because researchers and scientists have not been able to detect any difference in any blood levels or hormones, things like that, in PMS sufferers compared to non-PMS sufferers. So cyclical changes that happen in your hormones of your estrogen and progesterones, things like that, are also seen. Sometimes they think that there may be some chemical changes in the brain in some PMS sufferers that cause a crucial role in these mood changes and that can trigger symptoms. So something called serotonin, which is your happy hormone, basically, it could be, a big part that plays in PMS. Now, what is dysmenorrhea? This is like one of the biggest problems that women have with PMS is the cramps. And they're in many cases debilitating. So what happens, what is dysmenorrhea? Why do we have it? So usually your uterine lining produces these hormones called prostaglandins that cause the muscle of the uterus to contract like really strongly, that causes pain. And it reduces blood flow to the uterus that causes even more pain. So there are different types of these prostaglandins that can, cause dysmenorrhea. Also, women with PCOS, again, have triggered dysmenorrhea. So if you have PCOS, you have higher chances of having PMS and like severe pain and cramps during your period. Also, smoking, obesity, alcohol consumption, and high levels of stress also increase the incidence of dysmenorrhea and PMS as well, which is why, like we thought about, lifestyle and food making a big difference to these kind of symptoms. So now how do we deal with this? How do we fix, PMS? How do we live with it? Because this is something that we're going to have to live for through our reproductive lives, which is from the age of about 15 to 45, which is most of like our active, lives as women. So we've got to find a way to manage it. So again, number one, obviously would be lifestyle changes. Now, what is a lifestyle change? A lifestyle change is any change that you can make in your life that would, affect diseases. And lifestyle changes, again, are very, very, like, hugely studied. So Harvard Medical School is actually doing, like, a huge study on intensive lifestyle change and how it affects chronic diseases. So basically, lifestyle changes, which means adopting a low salt diet, having small frequent meals, having complex carbohydrates, increasing your water intake, reducing alcohol, caffeine, reducing your processed sugars, increasing, again, now this is very important and I talk about this a lot in my Instagram page, which is an anti-inflammatory diet. It basically is, so PMS is again related to increase in inflammatory markers. So there are these inflammatory markers called tumor growth factor and inflammatory factor. So these cause a lot of these inflammatory changes, which cause pain, which cause PMS symptoms, things like that. So basically what we want to do is reduce inflammation, which is what you can do by adding antioxidants, adding anti-inflammatory food into your diet, and also by doing an anti-inflammatory activity, which is exercise and also stress management.
So sorry to intervene in here. So if we're talking lifestyle changes, are these sort of changes that do not involve medication? Is that what we're sort of getting at?
Yes. So so science really doesn't have an answer right now for PMS because we haven't figured out what are the hormone markers and what are the, specific processes that cause it. So there are medications that we use for PMS, but that comes under like the birth control pills that regulate your hormones. But, you know, all of these lifestyle changes, which is using non-medical ways to change your disease process, has been shown and studied extensively to improve your symptoms as well.
So popping like a painkiller, for example, to deal with cramps, is that something that is recommended or common to do?
So again, depends on your one threshold, and two, also, you know, if you are using all of these things. So exercise again is supposed to be very, very helpful for pain relief, including, or, you know, hot water bottles, using heat as a source to reduce pain, things like that. But again, if these things don't work, we do have painkillers that we do prescribe. Again, these are more anti-spasmodics compared to painkillers, because the pain of, you know, PMS and period cramps basically is your uterus contracting like extra hard. So basically an antispasmodic will help reduce like the intensity of the contraction of the uterus. So we do use them, but you know, again, things, they may not always be helpful. So these lifestyle changes can, you know, with the pills synergistically help you through your period.
Very cool.
Okay. So a study actually that was done in Georgetown in the US found that women who followed like a vegan diet for two menstrual cycles saw an improvement in their symptoms. And after two menstrual cycles, they said, okay, you know, you can go back to your regular diet. But the women felt so much better that several women actually refused to go back to their diet. So, you know, things like that. So they've actually studied lifestyle change in PMS, and they have found significant differences.
That's so sort of interesting, because I definitely do feel like it's fascinating to see how just maybe 2 months of modification of what you're taking into your body can have longer term effects. And it's something that you could sort of do every few years to sort of reset your body, to help it cope, I guess.
And also what we're trying to say is that a lifestyle change, that's why we're not calling them diets, or because diets are mostly like fads that you get sick of in a month or two. And we've all done it. We've all been on these diets and we've all miserably failed at these diets. A lifestyle change is basically a change that you put in for the rest of your life. So, you know, so example, I don't think I could realistically go vegan. But could I improve my diet by adding in some, you know, adding in fish, adding in eggs, adding in, you know, things like that? Yes, I could. And I could realistically see myself doing that for the rest of my life. Could I see myself adding in exercise? Yes, I could and I should. So, you know, things like that. These are sustainable growth models for you personally and physically. So, you know, that's what we mean really by lifestyle changes, more than just like a diet or, you know, something that's just short term and short lived.
Definitely.
Okay, so do you want to talk about how we deal with the dysmenorrhea? So painkillers basically is what you were mentioning before. So in India, we have something called Meftal-Spas or Cyclopam, which are these antispasmodic tablets. You could, they're over-the-counter medications, and those are usually prescribed during, say, your cramps and things like that if they get too bad. So, but ideally, you shouldn't take more than two a day. So that is something. You know, you can use a hot water bottle where, you know, you get these hot water bottles from any chemist, or you can make like a bottle of hot water and just put it on your abdomen. A hot shower also helps. Heat is known to help pain. So remember that. Regular exercise. I know it sounds horrible to exercise when you're like cramping, but studies done show that exercise causes a release of endorphins, and these endorphins are natural painkillers. So, you know, that is again very helpful. If you can, please do. Relaxation techniques and stress management is another very, very important thing. Then we talk about low-fat foods. So when you're craving, like your PMS cravings usually are things that are fatty, things that are filled with oil, either fried or very sweet foods. That's what we usually like crave. But again, that's not very good for pain relief. So sometimes the food you eat could be increasing your pain as well. Also, we have now very important vitamins that actually are studied and are shown to help pain. So there is vitamin B6, we have magnesium and thiamine, which are, again, you know, you can take supplementation for these during, say, you know, like the last 10 days when you're going to get your period. And when you do get your period, these are things you can, you know, take to help combat this dysmenorrhea or your cramps. Another very important thing is vitamin D. So vitamin D is shown to help reduce pain, reduce symptoms of PMS, and also reduce symptoms of PCOD. So vitamin D, again, is found in fatty fish. It's found, some of it is in whole milk as well. So the cream part of the whole milk is where you do get vitamin D. And also in, say, fish liver oil and things like that. Or you do get a vitamin D3 sachets. They're called Uprise D3. I think that's what I take. So it's pretty good. So you take one sachet about once a week for 4 weeks, and it's pretty good because Indians are very, very prone to low vitamin D levels. So basically that. And I think now, Jashan, over to you. Let's get on to the most exciting part of today's conversation.
So what we've actually put together is a little virtual menu for you. We've curated a list of PMS snacks that we'll sort of serve you virtually, which we normally would feed you in person in regular circumstances. So I'm just going to share my screen. So please let me know if you're able to see it. Yep, are you able to see it?
No. Yeah.
All right, great. So the first thing, this is the menu that we're sort of handing over to you. The first course is a piping hot green tea with aromatic lemongrass. We'll follow that up with a bowl of Greek yogurt with a homemade granola and some seasonal fruit. We'll move on to some crunchy rainbow beetroot chips with sea salt and olive oil, followed by a savory miso soup with seaweed and tofu. And finally, by the table, we'll make an instant banana ice cream for you. So let's sort of start with the aromatic lemongrass and green tea. Maybe Isha, you could tell us how this would help PMS and the symptoms we sort of experience.
So now in this, say in these five courses, we've been very mindful and, you know, every single ingredient has some kind of significance to either PMS symptom relief or pain relief. So when you look at lemongrass, it is a natural remedy for menstrual cramps, bloating, and hot flashes that you get. It's anti-inflammatory, it's diuretic. Diuretic means it reduces bloating and your water weight. And it's also good for digestion, and it's an antioxidant. So it's got like a bunch of, you know, really, really positive, you know, things that are attached to it. Now, lemon also is known to reduce excess bleeding in, you know, your menses. It's great for fatigue, again, good for digestion and good for bloating as well. Green tea by itself is an antioxidant and reduces bloating. It also contains theanine, which is, you know, it increases relaxation, which again decreases some of the mood-related symptoms of PMS. It's also high in something called polyphenols, which are found to have anti-inflammatory effects as well as antimicrobial effects. So it could have an effect on the acne that is seen in PMS. So now one of the most important things is that ginger. Ginger is known to be a natural pain reliever, and it also reduces nausea. So they did like a huge multicentric study in the US where, you know, they gave cancer patients going through chemotherapy ginger compared to a placebo. And they saw that ginger actively reduces the nausea compared to a placebo. So, you know, so there's actual evidence-based medicine that talks about ginger being like good for nausea. It's also anti-inflammatory, it's also a pain reliever, and there have been again studies done looking at ginger as a pain reliever, and they've all been pretty positive. Now, you know, you could sweeten this with honey or a natural sweetener. So natural sweeteners and honey is linked to reduce cortisol, which is a stress hormone in your body. So, you know, again, less stress is always better because it's, again, anti-inflammatory. So this is something, you know, you could drink every morning, you could drink every night, you could drink, you know, whenever you have your symptoms come on. It's something you can easily, like, take with you when you go to work or if you're working from home. It's a very easy and quick drink to kind of just heat up and, you know, keep sipping on.
Very cool. And I love, like, lemongrass is personally one of my favorite ingredients to sort of consume and work with. Next, we're going to serve you a bowl of fresh Greek yogurt with a homemade granola and some seasonal fresh fruit. So maybe, Isha, you can sort of tell us how this could work with PMS.
Yeah. So let's start with the Greek yogurt first. Now, dairy is shown to be very good for PMS. So researchers have found that women with lower calcium levels have, you know, are more affected by mood changes and bloating compared to, you know, people that have more calcium levels, which is, again, highly common in yogurt and other dairy products. Yogurt is also a probiotic, so it's very good for gut health. So it reduces bloating, constipation, sometimes the diarrhea that you see in you know, your PMS or during your periods. Also, again, if you don't have Greek yogurt, like, don't stress about it, because now anyway everyone's not going out. If you can naturally make yogurt, I know everyone makes dahi at home, you know, please don't be scared to use that. It's very, very good for you. Again, it's always better to make things at home than it is to buy them from a store. So that. Now, part of the granola, now it contains oats, which is a complex carbohydrate. So it actually, oats are known to boost serotonin. Serotonin was the happy hormone that we talked about. So serotonin makes you feel good. And, you know, again, known to reduce all of the mood symptoms that are seen in PMS. It could also, you know, remove excess estrogen. And that's what they're doing studies on now. Almonds are a very good source of magnesium and calcium. Again, calcium is what we just talked about. And magnesium, again, is a vitamin, is a mineral, basically, that helps you, again, improve your quality of sleep and also your mood. Coconut oil is a good fat, again, good for gut health. It has high levels of lauric acid that are seen in coconut oil that protects against infection. So that's also, again, very good in this climate. Flax seeds are very, very good for you. It contains omega-3 and it contains a lot of fibers. So it reduces bloating, constipation, and all the GI symptoms that are seen.
Very cool. And I feel like besides obviously eating this as for breakfast, it also makes a really good snack or even a little dessert at the end of a meal.
Yeah, I mean, it could satiate all your sweet cravings as well, because it's got I think all the ingredients that are enough to make it like a dessert. Or, you know, when you crave that chocolate or, you know, you want ice cream or something, like, you know, just very cold yogurt can kind of try and substitute it for you.
Definitely. Now I know that a lot of the snacking is related to crunching and munching on something. And we tried really hard to sort of extract that sensorial aspect in identifying a snack that we would probably recommend you eat while PMSing. So these are homemade rainbow beet chips with sea salt and olive oil. So maybe Isha, you can tell us about it.
Yeah, so looking at the whole snacking and munching aspect, that's why we named it snacking through PMS. Because, you know, when you're PMSing, when you're, you know, in pain, things like that, you don't really want to eat like big meals. You don't feel like it. It's, you know, you just want to eat something quick, something, you know, like dirty, unhealthy, all of that. So these, all of these actually courses are, you know, they're all good food and they're also not the typical healthy foods, if you know what I mean, because it's like, you know, cheeky, healthy food because it's, you know, got chips and, you know, things like that, but it's all, you know, pretty good for you. So now, especially, so here we have beetroot. So that's, again, nutrient dense. It has iron. It has vitamin B6 that we talked about, which is a painkiller. It also reduces excess estrogen in the body and reduces bloating. Now, if you don't have beetroot, you can use anything. You can use kale. You can use spinach. You can use carrots. You know, like the sky's the limit, like literally slice anything thinly and substitute this recipe for it. Again, salt, you've got to be really watchful of, you know, how much salt you put in because salt, again, increases water retention, increases bloating. So, you know, if you could put less salt if possible and add in some other, like you can add in like paprika or something like that if you want to, like, you know, increase the taste, but again, which is not too much salt. Now olive oil is another good fat. It's again anti-inflammatory, known for that, but try not like slathering it with a lot of oil. Just a little bit of oil sounds good. So the thinner, I think Jashan will be able to tell you this better. I think the thinner you slice the chips, the lesser oil you will probably need for it to cook. So yeah. I don't know, is that so, right? So
one sort of easy hack is just investing in a mandolin slicer. So it's a sort of box and you can sort of hold your particular fruit or veg and then you just sort of scrape it and you get them really nice and thin. So you can go as thin as quarter of an inch. And like you said, obviously the thinner you make it, the less oil you need, but it's also more important than to watch sort of in the oven, if you're making these at home, that it doesn't turn and burn too fast. So Isha, what would be a really great thing to sort of dip these in would be hummus. So I believe chickpeas are also quite good for PMS, if you could sort of throw a little light on that.
Yeah, so chickpeas again are a very high source of protein. They've got, you know, they're very good for you because they've got, again, anti-inflammatory aspects to it. And the carbohydrate part of it is their complex carbs as well. So it's basically got a lot of, like, you know, good things in it. Including, you know, so when you do make hummus, you do put tahini in it. So again, sesame seeds are very good for you. Again, contain a high amount of iron. So, you know, hummus is a great, great, you know, side to this. And you can like nicely dip in your chip and, you know, like go for it. Another one would be tzatziki. So you can make like an easy dip with, say, cucumber, garlic, and, you know, little bit of salt. And again, your Greek yogurt. Yeah. So that again encapsulates all of the good things about it. So, yeah, just stay away from the mayos and the ranch dressings and, you know, anything that's processed really.
So if you made your sort of mayonnaise at home, is that okay? Or is it sort of not recommended because it's usually the egg yolks and the oil and salt that's sort of put into it.
So if you made mayo at home, I'm sure you would have seen the amount of oil and the amount of, it's just fat emulsified, which, is something that we're really trying to stay away from, because one of the things we talked about in the beginning were low fat. And, so again, egg yolks do have vitamin D, but, at this point, we're just being too kind to mayonnaise.
All right, we'll follow that up with a nice warm bowl of savory miso soup with tofu and seaweed in there.
Okay, so again, now miso is a savory Japanese paste made from fermented soy. And, Jashan and I had this conversation where I said, I don't know, Jashan, do we get miso in India? And he was like, yeah, you do. You get it at Nature's Basket. And, it's very, very easily available here. You get it on Amazon as well online. So if this isn't something you've tried, you should definitely try it. Because, one, it's good for you. And two, it's got a really nice umami kind of a flavor to it that, makes your soups have a lot of depth, I think, to whatever you cook, actually. Even miso with fish is really good. Like a miso salmon is pretty amazing. Okay, now the nutrition part of miso. So now fermented soy. Soy is again a very, very dicey ingredient when it comes to women, because people are scared about soy having the wrong kind of protein. It has a lot of estrogen and things like that. Now, this is like the real thing. Soy contains something called phytoestrogen. Okay, and these are hormone balancing nutrients devised from plants. It acts in two ways. At low doses, it mimics estrogen, but at higher doses, it attaches to estrogen in the body and blocks its effects. So that usually helps create, so it blocks the symptoms as well associated with PMS, because it blocks estrogen at higher levels. So now miso, there was actually a study done in Japan where women reported less hot flashes and reduced PMS from fermented soy products. So again, miso, it's pretty good to have. Again, tofu, again, is, a soy product, but still good for you. And it contains protein. So a lot of vegetarians that have a difficulty in maintaining the amount of protein they have in their diet, tofu is a very good option, and even better than paneer. Garlic in the soup. So garlic reduces cramps, bloating, and it's also anti-inflammatory. Seaweed is anti-inflammatory and it's an antioxidant. Also, it's rich in iron, which is again very important when you're menstruating, because you're anyway losing blood. Sesame is rich in zinc, and it also helps with progesterone production and things like that. And it's also good, again, with iron. You can add in ginger into this as well. And we talked about the many, many beneficial effects of ginger, especially on pain relief. Again, we wanted to deal with a lot more hot snacks. That's why we looked at a soup and a tea. Because again, heat does have a very, very important role in pain relief. So I'm sure you would have noticed this whenever you drink some hot tea or have soup or something like that, it always helps with the cramps that you have. So I think that's course four.
And finally, table side, we're about to serve you an instant banana ice cream. We have some digital issues where it's eaten up the instant banana ice cream, but it's basically just made with three really simple ingredients. So Isha, maybe you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, so it's bananas, obviously. Bananas are, again, very good for you, rich in potassium and vitamin B6. Great for bloating, great for constipation, and also used for electrolyte balancing. So bananas are a big yes. I think all you have to do is freeze the bananas and put in the milk and some honey or, you know, any natural sweetener that you have. Yeah. Again, milk, we talked about dairy being good. We talked about honey being good. So just, you know, a bunch of these things as well. I think popsicles, you can make like ice creams, you can make whatever you want. You can just even, I think, freeze bananas and like put honey over it, and you know, it's a good snack. I don't know,
it's sort of a great way to also save overripe bananas. So if you do have bananas that are soft, like overripe or going brown or mushy, instead of throwing them out, just save them in the freezer, and they sort of really come in handy for adding to any sort of smoothie or to make ice creams like this. So that's definitely a great way to save it. So that was the sort of set of craving snacks for PMS. Isha, I know you also said that we can do something with lifestyle and some stress management. So maybe we could sort of move on to that.
So, yeah, so today is something actually I want to start doing myself. So I thought it would be a great, you know, way to get everyone to do it with me as I go about it. And I think I'm going to, you know, kind of chronicle this on my Instagram as well. So it's something I've been reading about quite a lot. So I've been looking into stress management a lot, not just because of this series, but also because, I mean, looking at my life as you know, residency with a nonprofit, with like other work, with, you know, all of that, it is really, really hectic. And especially like, you know, this entire pandemic creating a lot more stress. It is, you know, it's very vital to be able to like manage your stress. And stress does cause a lot of changes like in your reproductive system. I've seen infertility because of stress. I've seen people get their periods late again because of stress, and then they stress about it more, and you know, again, it's like a cascading effect. So I was looking into mindfulness and how you know, that's a great way to manage stress. And I came across something called a gratitude exercise. So I thought we would do that today, and we would like kick that off, you know, today, and then we'll stick to it after that. So there are different ways to do a gratitude exercise, and I did like a bit of research, and I think the way I thought was the most, I think the easiest way to do it was to basically have a gratitude journal. Which means every day, at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, whenever you feel, whenever you're more active, things like that, usually at the end of the day, you know, you go through what happened during the day and you note down 5 things that you're grateful for or 5 things you're happy about that happened, you know, that day. Even, you know, sometimes maybe it's a really shitty day and you can't imagine 5 things, but at least 3 things. So it could be anything. It could be, you know, it could be the weather outside. It could be the friends you're grateful for. It could be a conversation you had today. It could be something at work that you did. It doesn't have to be monumental. It just has to be something that, you know, made you like look back and feel good about. And now again, there are a lot of psychologists, a lot of statisticians, a lot of researchers across universities in the US, UK, that are doing a lot of research on happiness. And, you know, a lot of them talk about how gratitude journaling and how gratitude exercise actually help people be more productive, happier, and also actively reduce stress. So, yeah, so basically that. And again, stress reduction is so important, especially in PMS. So it kind of ties into our topic for today. Jashan?
Yes, okay. Can you hear me now? I sort of got muted. Yeah. So if you guys have any questions related to PMS, related to dysmenorrhea or cramping, related to the sort of food we spoke about. Don't worry if you didn't take extensive notes. What we've sort of put together is a recipe booklet for you guys with Dr. Isha Chainani's specific notes or comments on each ingredient related to why it's sort of relevant or good for you related to PMS. So if you have any other further questions, we're sort of open for questions. But otherwise, Isha, I know we have an exciting few sessions coming up. Next time, we're going to be talking about eating your way for fertility. Do you want to maybe share a little bit about that?
So, one of my biggest interests that I look for in my super specialization next year would be infertility, because it is something that is affecting a lot more people than you think it is. And so 28% of infertility is unexplained. And, you know, this 28% is because, again, of stress and the lifestyle we lead and the food we eat. And there is actually something called a fertility diet that, is known and, again, studied to reduce infertility and boost your fertility and improve your chances of actually, conceiving. Which is a big deal, because if you know of anyone, trying to have kids, trying to conceive, things like that, it's huge, and it takes a huge emotional, physical, mental toll on you. And, and people don't know that, food can really change your life and change your, change everything about, your disease and whatever problems you may have with it.
Cool. We have a question which says, so this is actually from a male participant, and they say that when my partner is PMSing, she gets sort of irritated with me. Is there any way that I could sort of help her and be helpful during this time? Is that maybe making the recipes we've given you, so maybe you could do like a breakfast in bed for her? But I don't know if there's sort of any medical aspect to it, Isha.
I don't know. This is like a great boyfriend, man. Wow. I'm so impressed. But this is great, because one thing that is good is to be, again, positive, to be understanding, because a lot of these crabby symptoms or irritability, depression, social withdrawal, all of these things are seen with PMS. So just trying to understand that this is, happening, and, just to be more supportive, things like that. Maybe you can do the gratitude exercise with her. Again, beetroot chips, again, is a great idea. Make her some banana ice cream or because they're pretty easy recipes and you can have them too. Like, I don't think you need to be PMSing to eat any of these things. And they're pretty tasty, because Jashan made them and he's pretty happy with them. So I think just being supportive is something that, definitely someone can do. And that's great.
And I definitely think it comes down to a bigger sort of question, where we're saying that, okay, some of these topics that we're discussing are female related. However, they're not sort of meant to be dealt with in isolation. So I definitely think everyone has a sort of role to play and value to bring to any situation.
Yeah, definitely. And, everything is, at the end of the day, it's a group effort, and it's always better when it's a group effort. Like, you always do better when you have a partner with you, and to understand, your partner, to understand what they're going through is also very important. So it's not just women only and men not allowed, things like that. I think, we've got to be more inclusive. We've also got to be inclusive of the trans community as well, because with, the hormone shots that they take and all of the hormone replacement therapy, they also do face problems like PMS and, all of those. So I think we've just got to be inclusive. I think that's one of the best parts about Food for Thought, is that we're not just focusing on, one sex or one gender or whatever.